Today, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we will ponder on and think about what it means to be crucified with Christ, so that yet we may die here on this earth, but we know that we will live. It is our gain to be crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 2, 16 through 21 is where we'll be reading today. And out of reverence for God's holy and infallible word, if you would please stand and follow along as I read these verses. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You may be seated, and may God add his blessing upon his word. The law in itself was good. The laws were intended to be good, to guide us, to lead us, so that we would have an idea of what God wanted us to do. We know this to be the Mosaic law in itself, the commandments of God, what he prescribed for man to adhere to. And if man would follow these commandments, man had a better chance of doing exactly what God needed. But we know that this was not the ultimate plan of God. We know that this was temporary. The prophets of old knew that the Mosaic law was temporary, because we know, we have read, that they prophesied that there was going to be a Savior. And he was going to abolish the law, not do away with the law in a sense where law did not need to be followed, but the fact that we did not no longer need to be justified by law, that we could be justified by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this specific chapter that we've read from today, Paul is trying his very best to let these Jews know what needs to be followed. That the law in itself was good, that they needed to stick by the law in order to live a godly life, but that there was more to the law than just what they were interpreting. And he was trying his very best to illustrate to them that they needed to learn that faith in itself was total justification and not by law. He wanted them to see that through his encouraging word that had been given to him, how he had been guided, how he had been directed, that if they would listen to what he was proclaiming, that they would understand the importance of law, the importance of justification through faith. And if you would look back at verse 16 and 17 especially, it says, knowing that a man is not justified, this is Paul saying, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith. So meaning that you can work as hard as you want trying to fulfill that law, but if you have no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then what you are doing is in vain, which is the very same thing that he tells us in verse 21. It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. We know that righteousness in itself did not come by the law, but at this current time, these individuals felt that was the only way to have true righteousness. Verse 17 reads, but if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. And we know that Christ is not the minister of sin. In that one verse alone in 16, Paul used the word justified by faith numerous times. He was trying his very best to stress the importance of being justified by faith, because God knew that we would not be able to follow the laws perfectly. He knew that we would fail at this miserably. So therefore, he created a plan that he knew would not fail. However, if one fails to believe in this plan, if one fails to have faith in this plan, then their life means nothing. But through Jesus Christ, our lives can mean everything through his sacrifice on Calvary's hill. Verses 18 and 19 of this very same chapter reads, "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." Now what he means here is, the things that you build upon, that you sinned in, you need to destroy. But if you continually build on them, it continually makes you the transgressor. And so what he's speaking of here, the underlying theme in this one verse in itself, is the old law in itself needs to be destroyed. He's not following the law anymore. He's following the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's following in the footsteps of what Jesus came to do, that his faith is through Jesus, and that he has no longer the desires to build upon these same transgressions, these same laws, or those same sins in which he was once bound to. He was free from those chains the day that he accepted and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19 reads, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law." And that's what's so great for you and for me and for anybody that's called upon the name of the Lord. You are dead to the law. You don't have to follow the law anymore. Now, we're not speaking of man's laws that govern our body here today. We're speaking of Christ's laws, the Mosaic laws, those laws that we're no longer bound to because Jesus Christ has set us free. Obviously, we have to follow man-made laws. For one, we are commanded to do so, but we know at the same time, if those laws begin to infringe upon our Christian beliefs, our theology, our doctrine, then we know then we have to stand up as Christians for what is right versus what is wrong. But here, this is the rejoicing factor for you and for me, is that we don't have to think about the law any longer. We are simply justified by faith. If you have that faith. Paul is simply referring to the law in itself, and that he knew his old ways, his old sinful ways, were things that he could no longer dwell on, or he had no need to dwell on them any longer, because he knew that he had been justified. He knew that he could let go of those sinful ways. And one thing that we can also rest assured and know is that the Mosaic law in itself, it could take you to the threshold of grace, but those laws could never allow you to enter through the door of grace. The Mosaic law trained our minds and it can guide you, but it can only take you so far. And that's why God sent his only begotten Son, because his only begotten Son can take you as far as you need to go, and that is to be in heaven with him through calling upon his name and understanding what it means to have true, eternal, saving grace. The law in itself was an administer of death. But through Christ, each individual can always find life. Because if you stayed within the law, and you never sought faith outside of the law, it was just as if you never had heard or believed in Jesus at all. It's as if Moses himself didn't exist. That Moses himself wasn't sent to be that great leader of people to direct them towards God. Because you could not be justified by law in itself. You could only be justified through faith in Jesus Christ. And so how that intertwines with what we're partaking of today is the fact that we're going to recognize what the Lord's Supper means. And that this Lord's Supper, in which we are going to participate in soon, is a justification through faith. This is a symbol to prove that you have called upon the name of the Lord to save you. We know that the partaking of this bread, the partaking of this juice is not what saves us. We know this is a symbolism of what we believe took place on Golgotha's hill. We know that the broken body or the bread in itself is a representation of Jesus' broken body. And the juice, the wine, is a representation of the blood that he spilled on Calvary's hill. And when you believe those things and you accept those things and you know that that was the only reason why he was nailed to that cross, then you can fully understand and even enjoy what this Lord's Supper is all about. For he made it possible through the justification of faith, through this atonement in itself. Paul knew that he could not be saved by obeying God's law. He knew it. And it took him a while to understand this, but once he figured it out, he learned it. It enveloped his life. And then what did Paul do? He continually went around telling others, this is what you need to do. You can adhere to the law, but that law is not going to save you. That law is not going to grant you life eternal. Only believing in the Lord Jesus Christ will do that. And Paul did this till the day that he died. And this is what we're to do until the day that we draw our very last breath. We are to tell others who Jesus Christ is. We are to tell others what the Lord's Supper means to you, what the Resurrection Sunday means to you, what Monday, Thursday mean, what Good Friday means, what it all means, what is it all about in your Christian faith and Christian belief. We know that sin in itself infected the world from the very beginning of time when God created man and when he created woman. And so therefore God had to figure out a plan. He had to create this plan, not of law, but simply of faith. Simply of faith. And all you simply have to do is place your faith and trust in Christ Jesus. That's all you got to do. And you're guaranteed life eternal. You're guaranteed to understand the concept behind the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine. And so this is where Jesus himself enters in. This is where he becomes the literal savior of our world. Now we know that before the foundations of the world were created, Jesus himself was already at the right hand of the Father. But he left that right hand for one reason and one reason only. Verse 20 reads, I am crucified with Christ. I hope that you can say this today. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. That's the important part. It doesn't say that I live by the law. It says that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This verse was written for each individual who sits here today. This verse was written for each individual who has ever been born. Christ died for the unlovely, for the ungodly, for every single sinner who ever was born, he died for. And he'd do it over again if he had to. If he had to come back and do it again, he would. If he had to come back and die just for one, he would. But he died for all. He died for all. So remember that you live in the flesh per se. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to dwell within you, you can live of the Spirit. You can live within that righteous call that God has given you. You don't have to act in the flesh. You can act in the Spirit. You can be guided by the Spirit. And all of that was made possible through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you have confessed every one of your sins, if you've confessed with your tongue that you know that Jesus died for you, then every sin that you committed prior to, every sin that you committed presently to the future, God will restore you of that. He will forgive you of that. It's already been done. Every sin that you've committed, it died with Christ on the day he drew his last breath on the cross. thousands and thousands of years ago, it died on the cross the day he drew his last breath. And that's why you shouldn't have any need to dwell on those things, because they've already been taken care of. Past, present, and future. So many times we confess, and we feel condemned. Or sometimes we're not even willing to confess because we feel condemned. We feel that we're not worthy of. And I understand why you feel that way. But you must know and recognize that God knew you were going to make mistakes. He knew that you were going to continue to commit sins. And that's why he had to send his perfect son to take care of those iniquities. Colossians 2, 13 through 15, you feel free to turn there if you'd like, but if not, you can just listen as I read. Colossians 2, 13 through 15 reads, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Doesn't say some, it doesn't say a few. "Has forgiven all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us," referring to the law, "which was contrary to us," still referring to the law, "and took it out of the way, and he nailed it to the cross." That's what he did. He nailed the laws to the cross. He nailed your sins to the cross. Verse 15 says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers," he's referring to man, all the powers that man thought he had, "having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." When he nailed them to the cross, when he drew that last breath, and he said, "It is finished," everything that was nailed to the cross that day, it died with the Lord Jesus Christ. The burden of every man's sin, every woman's sin, every child's sin was on his shoulders. And for a brief moment in time, the heavenly Son of God was covered in sin, and his heavenly Father could no longer look at him, because he was the sin of the world for you and for me. And all you simply have to do now is recognize that you can be justified by faith, that you can be crucified with Christ by calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from eternal hell, from a hopelessness of life eternal. Jesus is the answer. He is the only way. And he wants you to understand and to know that he will lead you, he will guide you, he will protect you. He will always provide for you. You can receive this because you've been justified by faith if you call upon the name of the Lord. And our very last verse is verse 21 of Galatians 2. It says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Now what this means, "I do not frustrate," what Paul is saying, another word for frustrate is, "I do not set aside the grace of God," meaning that God's grace means nothing, and I'm just going to place it over here for right now and come back to it when I feel that I need it. What he's saying is, for if righteousness comes by the law, then the day that Jesus drew his last breath was for nothing. Meant absolutely nothing. That's why the law was abolished. Because Jesus Christ himself came to fulfill the law. And if anybody believes that Jesus' death was in vain, then they definitely do not believe in the true Son of God. For his death was not in vain. His death was so that all could be saved. Some people felt that his death on the cross was an admirable action, an exemplary action, one that just was kind of setting an example of what it meant to be a sacrifice, but that's not what it was. It was admirable from our point of view because we have to admire Jesus for what he was willing to do, but he didn't do it to be admired. He didn't do it to set an example. He did it to prove that he was the only way Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the life. And no one can enter unto the Father except by me. He's the only way. If you sit here today and you ask yourself these questions, have you fully experienced what God's goodness is all about and you don't really know, then the answer most likely is you haven't fully experienced. You haven't made that willing commitment to recognize that Jesus is Lord of all. So I want you to ask yourselves this today, and visitors alike, that if you are with us today and if you have called upon the name of God to save you and you believe in Jesus' resurrection, you believe in the life that he lived, the death that he experienced, and the resurrection behind it all, please partake of this Lord's Supper. But if you sit here today and you're not sure, we'll have a moment where you can begin to search your heart. Allow God to search your heart, to try you, to know your ways. I would not want anyone to leave this congregation today and not know and not be 100% sure that they're a child of the one true King. Are you crucified with Christ? If everyone would bow their heads and our musicians would come at this time. The altar will be open for anyone who would come. At this time, I want you to search out your heart and ask God to search out your heart and to know your ways.